We'll record. Okay, welcome back to Shmuel Aleph. We are learning Perek Tes Zayin, and this is a very exciting Perek. Very exciting. There's a lot of drama in these Prakim in Shmuel Aleph. We just got through several Prakim that deal with Shaul and Shaul's mistake, and Shaul essentially being, essentially having the kingdom ripped away from him, as we discussed. And this week we're meeting David HaMelech for the first time. We're meeting David. I should say David. He's not HaMelech yet, but he is David. So this is very exciting. So let's begin. Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Aleph. Yomer Hashem El Shmuel Ad Mosai Ata Misabel El Shaul. So Hashem says to Shmuel, you know, how long are you going to mourn over Shaul? Now, if you remember, at the very end of Perek Tes Vav, the pasuk says, this is pasuk lamed hey of Perek Tes Vav. Lo yasaf Shmuel erosh Shaul ad yomo. So we said Shmuel never went to see Shaul again. Ki hisabel Shmuel el Shaul, because Shmuel was mourning. Shmuel was mourning Shaul, and we described last week how he was mourning because this was his life's work, right? He anointed. This was the first king. He anointed him as the first king over Klal Yisrael. This was a very momentous thing. And here, it essentially was a failure, right? As even though Shaul was a tzaddik, but essentially this was a failure because of Shaul's mistakes and his sins, and the kingdom got ripped away from him. So Shmuel was in mourning. So says Hashem to Shmuel, Ad Mosai Atom Yisabel El Shaul. How long are you going to mourn, right? It's time to get up. It's time to get up. Vani Ma'astiv Mimelech Al Yisrael. Right? As we've said, this language has been repeated several times over the last perek. I despise him. I no longer want Shaul to be the king over Klal Yisrael. And as the Mitzudah stuff, it said there's no more reason to mourn. Right? There's no more reason to mourn. I despise him. Now the Malbim, interestingly, before we get to the rest of the Pasuk, the Malbim says here that excess mourning is only because of one of two reasons. Either because the person that was lost was so special, so unique. Right? So special. So says the Malbim, you know, he wasn't so great. Right? Shaul didn't end up so great. So in terms of that, there is no real reason for the excess mourning. And then furthermore, another reason for excess mourning, says the Malbim, is let's say the person is irreplaceable. Not even that they're so great in and of themselves. You know, just whatever they were, their position, they're not replaceable. So says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shaul's also replaceable. Continues the pasuk, Malei karnach ha-shemen, fill up your horn with oil, Velech eshlachacha el Yishai beis halachmi, and I'm hereby sending you to the house of Yishai from Beis Lechem, ki ra'isi bebanav limelech, because one of his sons, I found one of his sons to be the king. I found one of his sons to be the future king. So the Malbim says there's no reason for excess mourning. Shaul wasn't that great, number one. And number two, he's replaceable. He's replaceable. Then I'm sending you on a mission now to replace him. Now, it's very interesting that this whole business with the Keren, right? Malei Karnacha Shemen. He's told to fill up this horn with Shemen. So Rashi discusses this at length, and he says that this was a special Keren that was set aside to anoint the kings of Beis David. It was stored in the Ohel Moed, Rashi says. It was stored with the other kalim that were used to anoint all of the kalim in the Mishkan. Right? We know that all of the clay shares in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash had to be anointed with Shemen HaMishka, with the special anointing oil. So that was stored, this little keren that was used to anoint the Malchei Beis David, this was stored in the Ohel Moed, with those kalim that were used to anoint all of the clay shares in the Mishkan. And he says this was the job of the Navi. It was the Navi's job to anoint the king. And that's why he's commanding Shmuel to go take this oil and go anoint David. As we know, Shmuel also went and anointed Shaul, right? He anointed Shaul as well. We'll talk about that in a moment. We'll talk about that in a moment. It's a good point. And he asks, interestingly, he says that if you fast forward in Navi, when it comes to anointing Shlomo HaMelech, right, David's son, so it's interesting. He says, if you look there, the pasuk says that Tzadok the Kohen, anointed Shlomo HaMelech. It was not the Navi. So the question is, why, if this is really the job of the Navi, as we find that Shmuel is doing it here, why when it comes to anointing Shlomo later in history, do we find that the Kohen did it? Tzadok the Kohen Gadol did it. So he explains that really Nasan, who was the Navi at that time, was present. He was present and he oversaw the anointing. So even though Tzadok was the one who did the physical anointing, but Nasan was there overseeing the process, and that's good enough. But this idea of anointing the king is really in the jurisdiction of the Navi. He's the one who really oversees the anointing of the king. Now, how was the anointing done? So Rashi explains, and this you find also sometimes in Rashi and Chumash explaining this, that the oil was poured on his head. Okay, some of the oil then it seems, you know, would drip down on his forehead, and then the Navi would take the oil and kind of smear it across his forehead like a crown. You know, he would like to kind of encircle his forehead. He would smear it across like a crown. Whatever oil was left in that keren, in that horn, had to be spilled on the head of the king as well. All that oil had to be used. This was the process of anointing the king. And this is what Kadosh Baruch was commanding Shmuel to go ahead and do to David. Now, the Malbim points out here also, which is something that I think, you know, some of you may have been thinking about, that when Shmuel anointed Shaul, if you remember, so it does not say that he anointed him with a keren. If you remember, it says he anointed him with a pach. And we said at the time, and the Malbim repeats it here, that the reason for this difference between Shaul, who was anointed with a pach, and David, who was anointed with a keren, is that Shaul's dynasty was not everlasting. Shaul's dynasty was actually very short-lived. And that's why he was anointed with a pach, which was not the keli that was supposed to be used for anointing. On the other hand, David HaMelech, who was going to be the king, and not only was David going to be the king, but his descendants would be the kings for the rest of Jewish history. Right? And still, even Emir Tzah Hashem, when we rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to have a melech of the Malchus Beis David. Right? So that's the Malchus is always going to be Malchus Beis David. So that's why David was anointed with this keren. This was the keren that signified the everlasting malchus. If you look at the language at the very end of the pasuk, so Hashem says ki ra'isi bibanav li melech li, and many of the mafarshim, Rashi here picks up on this, the Malbim picks up on it. Then why the focus on li? Why the focus on li? So says Hashem, and Rashi and the Malbim really, really essentially say the same idea here, that Shaul was the king because the people wanted a king. Now it's true that Hashem selected Shaul to be that king, but in reality, the king really came from the people. The people were the ones who clamored for a king, if you remember. So therefore, Shaul had to be, as we know, Mishichmo Vamala, right? He was tall, he was good looking, because he had to engender the awe of the Malchus in the people, because he was the king of the people. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm done with this king of the people. I'm done with that. Now, ki li, I want ki ra'isi bibanav li melech. Now the king is going to be for me. Now the king is going to be someone who has my agenda, who shares my agenda. Someone who's going to listen to my commandments. Someone who's going to look out for the kavod shamayim. Not like Shaul, who made mistakes and was focused on the people, as if you remember, right? He was afraid of the people at the end, and that's why he made mistakes. Enough of that, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Exactly. Ki ra'isi bebanav li melech. It's time for me. It's time for the king to be focused on me, the king to be focused on the Ribono Shel Olam. And the Malbim also quotes a Sifri that says, whenever the language of li is used, it's everlasting. Li v'lo lo. Interesting. In the Haggadah. I got to take a look at that. Okay. Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. One other discrepancy, which I did not notice, and then when the Malbim said it, it's just, you know, some of the things the Malbim says in this parak are just so unbelievable. You know, you read the Malbim and it's like, oh, you know, he asks the most amazing questions and makes the greatest ha'aros in the pasuk, you know, the greatest observations. But the Malbim says, if you think about it, how did Shaul and Shmuel meet? So if you remember, Shaul was looking for his donkeys, right? They couldn't find the donkey. Shaul was ready to go home, and the Na'ar said to Shaul, "You know, hey, we're right near Shmuel's home. Why don't we go knock on his door? Maybe he'll be able to help us." Shaul didn't want to go. The Na'ar convinced him. Finally, they went to Shmuel, right? So Shaul ended up going to Shmuel in a roundabout way. Says the Malbim, here it's the exact opposite. Kadosh Baruch Hu is commanding Shmuel to go to David, right? The king's not coming to him. He's going to the king. Why? Because this is the real king. This is the real king. This is the king. Kilim, right? Ki ra'isi banav li melech, says Hashem. This is the real king. This is the king for me. And therefore you, the Navi, have to go to him to find him, to anoint him, because he's going to be Kili Melech. He's going to be the king, the real king for me. Unlike Shaul, who had to come to you because, you know, he was the people's king. He wasn't really Li Melech. He was the people's king. Unbelievable, you know, observations by the Malbim. Okay. Pasuk Beis. Vayomer Shmuel. And Shmuel said, Eich Eilech. How can I go? Vishama Shmuel Vaharagani. Vishama Shaul Vaharagani. Shaul's going to hear that I'm going to anoint the new king. He's going to kill me. He's going to find out, you know, Shmuel was a very popular figure. So Shmuel's going to be walking around. He's going to be traveling. People are going to talk. Shaul's going to find out. He's going to kill me. Vayomer Hashem. So Hashem says to him, don't worry. I have an Eitzah. Chob an Eitzah. Eglas bakar tikach biyadecha. Take a calf with you. V'amarta lizboch l'Hashem basi. And you have a great excuse. You'll say that I'm coming to sacrifice to Hashem. Perfect. And that way Shaul will not kill you. Now this is a fascinating pasuk. Oh. Right. Very good. Very good. Excellent. 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 So many of the Mefarshim here struggle with this. What's going on here? Hashem commands Shmuel, who's the Navi, right, to go on a holy mission to anoint the next king. And he's afraid of Shaul, right? Well, you think Shaul is going to be able to do anything here? Hashem just told you to go, right? What's Shmuel so afraid of? So it's interesting. A couple of different approaches in the Mefarshim how to deal with this question. Okay, good, good, good. So we'll get to that. Good. So a couple of different approaches, you know, in the Mefarshim how to deal with this question. So approach number one is the Radak. And the Radak says, interestingly, that Shmuel is not the first one that we find who's afraid, even though Hashem told him to do something or told him to go somewhere. He says, we find this with other tzaddikim. He says, we find it with Yaakov. Hashem tells Yaakov to go back to his home. And Yaakov is afraid of who? Esav. Yaakov is afraid of Esav. Same question can be asked. Hashem told you to go back, right? You're not going back on your own. Hashem told you it's time to go back. So what are you afraid of? Why are you afraid of Esav?
He didn't feel, Yaakov didn't feel that he was right.
Okay. Okay. So maybe Yaakov didn't feel that he was Ra'oi, but it could be. Okay, he says David also, we find, was afraid of Shaul, right? Coming up later in the Navi, we find that David was afraid of Shaul, even though Hashem told him that he's going to be the king.
He said he could bring his angel with him to look for the king.
Well, not to look, but to bring it as a carbon. Yeah, we'll talk about the angel in a second. And we find also, says the Radak, that even when Hashem tells the Jewish people to go to battle, right, in certain circumstances, and we've learned some of them throughout Yoshua and Shoftim, they still try to strategize, right? They still try to figure out the best way to do things. And he explains that even though, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do miracles for tzaddikim, right? Of course, Hashem can always do miracles for tzaddikim. But most of the time, Hashem operates within the realm of nature, even for the tzaddikim. Most of the time, Hashem operates within the realm of nature, and therefore, that's how the tzaddikim have to operate as well. So when Hashem tells them to do something, even though he commanded them to do it, but if through the realm of nature, they're still going to be afraid, then they're going to express that fear. And that's okay. Because that's normally how Hashem operates. And that's how they have to respond. Yeah, even the Navi. Even the Navi. Right? He also, the Radak also suggests that maybe Shmuel's question, maybe he wasn't questioning, how can I go? You know, the language of the Pasuk is, Eich Eilech, how can I go? So the Radak says in one of his interpretations, he says, it doesn't really mean how can I go. Of course, he trusted Hashem that he could go. But he was asking, what strategy am I going to use? I need to have a strategy, right? Because we're working with Derech HaTeva here. We're not working with an ace. So I have to have a strategy. So what strategy should I use? And Hashem said, here's the strategy you should use. Take this egla and bring it as a carbon. That's the strategy that you should use. Now, interestingly, Chazal learned from here that the person is allowed to bend the truth for the sake of shalom. Right? Many of us are familiar with Chazal. The Chazal say you're allowed to bend the truth. And I'm still not supposed to lie outright, but you could bend the truth for the sake of shalom. The Gemara in Yevamos and Chazal and other places also say that you're allowed to be mishane, l'shanos bedvar ha-shalom. And the Gemara brings several examples. One example is Yosef, or I should say the brothers of Yosef, the Shvatim. When Yaakov died, right, in Parashas Vayechi, so what do they tell Yosef? They tell him, before Yaakov died, he told us that you should forgive us. You shouldn't hold a grudge against us. Yaakov never said that, right? So how could they say that? How could they make that up? It's mamish a lie. So the Gemara says, you see, there was mipnei ha-shalom. They wanted shalom between them and Yosef, right? And for the sake of shalom, they were allowed to say this. Now, again, you know, it could be that Yaakov maybe was thinking that or would have said that. So maybe it wasn't an outright lie, but he certainly didn't say it. The Gemara quotes this example also of Hashem telling Shmuel, listen, bring the karbanos and you'll say that you're going to bring a karban. And another example is when the malachim come to Sarah and Avram to tell Sarah and Avram that they're going to have a baby the next year. So Sarah says, Vadoni Zakein. Sarah says, you know, how are we going to have a child? My husband's so old. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu reports this to Abraham, how does he report it? He reports it as Sarah saying, Va'ani zakanti, I'm old. Hashem leaves out the part that Sarah said, he's old. Right? Because again, Hashem, you know, kind of bent the truth in order to maintain the peace. So even though generally we're very sensitive to telling the truth, right? Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Of course, the signature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is MS. Everything about Hashem is MS. We always try to tell the truth as much as possible. But there are certain circumstances, especially when it comes to maintaining the peace, maintaining shalom, where a person's allowed to bend the truth. That's what Chazal learned from this story. The Radak also suggests, you know, alternatively, that maybe the korbanos here were actually part of the anointing process. Meaning maybe the korbanos were not just an excuse, you know, just carry karbanos and say that you're going to bring karbanos, but maybe they were actually part of the anointing process. And we'll talk about one other aspect of what he says in a moment. Okay. Actually, I'll share this now. It touches on something the Malbim says also. At first, the Radak says that what Hashem was saying was, at first I told you to go quietly. Still a hate, right? You know, just go and anoint David. But you have reservations. Shaul's going to kill you if he finds out. So instead, I want you to go publicly. Take korbanos and make a whole parade. And now you're going to go publicly. Now, how does that solve anything? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, see if Shaul can touch you. You're afraid I'm going to go quietly. Shaul's going to find out. He's going to kill me. So I'm guaranteeing that Shaul's not going to touch you. To the point that now I'm telling you, I want you to go with a parade, with an entourage. I want you to take animals. I want it to be a whole thing now. Right? Why? Just to prove to you, to show you that Shaul is not going to touch you. And he says the same thing happens in Parshas B'Shalach, where the people are very thirsty, and they complain to Moshe, and they say, you took us out of Mitzrayim, you're going to kill us here in the desert. We're going to kill us, you know, we have nothing to drink. Vayitzak Moshe LaHashem leMor, so Moshe cries out to Hashem, and he says, Od ma'at uskaluni. Soon they're going to kill me, these people, Moshe says to Hashem. So what does Hashem say to Moshe? By Yomer Hashem el Moshe, Avor lifnei ha'am. Go in front of the nation. V'kach itchom mizikhnei Yisrael, u'matcha shirikisibo asayor, kach biyadecha v'halachta. He tells him to take the stick, right? At this point in Bershalach, he tells him to hit the rock. Later, he tells him to speak to the rock. Okay? But says the Malbim, what's Avor lifnei ha'am? Avor lifnei ha'am is, go out in their face. You're telling me you're afraid they're going to kill you? Go out in their face and you'll see what happens. Nothing's going to happen. They're not going to touch you. And that's the same thing that he's telling Shmuel here. Shmuel, you're afraid that Shaul's going to kill you? Just the opposite. Now go out with pomp and circumstance. Now go out with animals. Now go out with an entourage and a parade, and you'll see Shaul's not going to touch you. Because I'm telling you to go. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. The Malbim, of course, in his unbelievable way, has a whole approach here where he says that there are times that a tzaddik can rely on a nes. We always say, ein som chen al anes, right? We never rely on a nes. But there are times when a tzaddik can rely on a nes. Only, though, when the nes is for the sake of the shlichus, of his mission, not that the nes is for him personally. If the nes is for him personally, the tzaddik doesn't want it. And why did tzaddikim not want to rely on nisim? Because as we know, nisim take away from your merits, right? You know, you got to buy an ace. You know, it doesn't come for free. Hashem is going to do an ace for you. He's going to take from some of the money you have stored up. He's going to take some of your sechusim. So tzaddikim don't want that. They don't want to lose their sechusim. However, if the nes is for the shlichus, it's not for them personally, but if it's for the shlichus, so then it's okay. So the Malbim says like this, along the same lines as the Radak, but a little bit differently. And the Malbim says that had Hashem commanded Shmuel to go publicly and anoint David in front, Lifnei Am Ve'eda, in front of everyone, Shmuel would not have been concerned. Because then, since it's a public thing, so any nace to save Shmuel would be for the sake of the Shlichus. That's for the sake of the mission. That Shmuel has no problem relying on such an ace. Of course he's going to do an ace and save me, because I'm going on a public mission now, Hashem's mission, to anoint David. No problem. But once Hashem commanded him to go quietly, the first command was to go quietly. So now Shmuel's nervous. It's a quiet thing. If it's a quiet thing, that means any nace that's going to save me is going to be a personal nace. It's only for me. I don't want a personal nace. That's going to take away from my zechusim. I don't want a personal nace. I don't want to rely on a personal nace. So that's the issue here. And therefore, that's really what he was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Malbim. When he asked Hashem, Eich Eilech, he was asking him, how should I go? Should I go in a public fashion? Or should I go in a private fashion? Should I go quietly? And if I go quietly, then I'm nervous about Shaul killing me and me being saved by an ace. I'm nervous about that. That was exactly his question. And the Malbim adds something here also. He says that this wasn't like, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him this excuse, take these animals and it'll be an excuse that you could say, I'm bringing Karbanos. Couldn't Shmuel have thought of that himself? Why couldn't Shmuel have thought of that idea? Not such a great chap, right? So Malbim says, of course Shmuel could have thought of that. But Shmuel was a tzaddik. He didn't want to utter a lie. Chas v'shalom. He didn't want to just bring animals and make an excuse. Oh, yeah, I'm going to bring Karbanos, make up some story. He would never say that. So listen to this. Says the Malbim, this wasn't an excuse. Hashem was telling him, you know what? I'm giving you a tzivoy to bring Karbanos. It's a command now. It's not an excuse. I'm now giving you a tzivoy to bring Karbanos. So now if Hashem gives him a tzivoy to bring Karbanos, it's not a lie. Now it's not a lie. It's true, right? If somebody comes to him and he says, where are you going? He says, Lizboach l'Hashem basi. That's what Hashem commanded me to do. Lizboach l'Hashem basi. So it's absolutely not a lie. Okay.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
How can I go and how shall I go? Completely two different things. You know what I'm saying? It's two completely different interpretations. But how can I go? I'm like, how can I go? Who am I to go? But how shall I go?
Yes, that's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. And this touches on these different approaches in the Mefarshim, how to understand the question. Because if the question is, how can I go? then what was he questioning, right? Just rely on Hashem. Well, what's the problem? But if you're right, if he's saying, how shall I go? That's a whole different question. And that's what the Malbim is saying here, that was really his question. How shall I go? Shall I go in a public fashion or a private fashion? Very good. Well put, Aaron. Okay. Pasuk Gimel. V'karasa liyishai bazavach. Says Hashem, when you get there to Beis Lechem, find this fellow Yishai and call him to come partake of your karban. And then, V'anochi odiacha es asher taaseh. Once you do that, I will tell you what you should do. U'mashach tali es asher omar elecha. And you will anoint for me. And again, the li, right? We see that li again. You will anoint for me he who I will tell you. Right? Es asher omar elecha. He who I will tell you, he who I will identify as the king. Now, the Mefarshim, what the Mefarshim are bothered by in this pasuk is, why didn't he just tell him off the bat? Why all the secrecy? Right? Just say, go to Beis Lechem, find the house of Yishai. Yishai's got a little kid named David. He's the king. Find David, and he'll be the one that you should anoint. Yishai had several other sons. Yeah. We'll learn about them, 7 or 8. I'm sorry? Correct. Well, no, that's exactly what we're reading here. He didn't tell him who to pick. The question is why? Why does Hashem says, go find the house of Yishai, and I'll tell you what to do. I'll tell you which son to pick. I'll tell you who to anoint. Why not just tell him off the bat? There's a kid named David. One of his sons is David. He's the one. Right? Why the secrecy? So two unbelievable pshatim here. One is the Radak. And the Radak says that, let's think about this for a minute. If Hashem had said to him, Yishai has a son named David and he's going to be the next king. So Shmuel would go to Beis Lechem. He would knock on Yishai's door. He would say, hi, Shalom Aleichem, is David home? Right? They would get David. He would say, David, you're the new king. You're the one that Kadosh Baruch Hu instructed me to anoint. And here, you're now anointed as the king. Right? If that happened, what might people think? What might people think? People might think this is Shmuel's pick. Even though Shmuel's the Navi, he's saying it's Hashem's pick, but maybe not. Maybe it's Shmuel's pick, right? So this way Hashem says, I'm not saying a word. I'm not telling you who it is. I want you to go. Once you're there, I'm going to now show you who's going to be the one to be the king. If that happens, everybody who's there, which means Yishai and all the other sons and whoever else was watching this whole event unfold, will see very clearly that it's not you. You're not the one making the selection. You're not the one. Don't let them in. If you want, you can tell them. Right? You're not the one. You're not the one making the selection. You're not the one. You're not the one saying, you know, who it is. Everybody's going to see very clearly that it's Hashem's pick. So that's the Radak approach. The Malbim has a different approach consistent with what he said before. If you remember, again, keep in mind, the Malbim says that the whole approach of Hashem here is to try to make sure that that Shmuel is not lying. Shmuel didn't want to lie. That's why Hashem gives him a specific commandment: take this animal, bring a korban. This way you're not lying. I'm telling you to bring a korban. Says the Malbim, had Hashem told him who to anoint, then it would still be a little bit of a lie. Because if Shmuel says, I'm going to bring a korban, that's not the whole truth. Maybe it's partially true you're going to bring a korban because Hashem said so. But part of it is that you're also going to anoint a new king. So this way, Hashem says, I'm not telling you who it's going to be. I'm just telling you bring a korban. The rest, the second part of the shlichus, I'll tell you when you get there. So now, if you're traveling with this animal and somebody says, where are you going? The answer is, I'm going to bring a korban, period. That's it. Because that's the only shlichus that you're aware of. Will there be another shlichus that you're going to have to appoint a king? Yeah, but I'll tell you that when you get there. Right now, the only shlichus is to bring a korban, and therefore you're telling the MS 100%. You shouldn't even think for a second that you're telling a little bit of a lie. It's 100% true, right? You have one shlichus now, and that's to go bring the korban. Pasuk Dalet. Vayashmu alei sashadiber Hashem. So Shmuel does what Hashem commands, what Hashem says. Vayavol Beis Lechem, and he arrives in Beis Lechem. Vayecherdu ziknei ha'irli kraso, and the people, the elders of the city, come out to greet him. The pasuk uses a strange word here, vayecherdu. Okay, vayecherdu, which we have to see what that means. Vayomer shalom bo'echa, and they say, you come in peace. So literally, we would think, you're right, vayecherdu means trembled. But why are they trembling? And they see Shmuel and trembling. Well, why are they trembling? Yeah, but yeah, everybody knows Shmuel. Shmuel's the Navi. Absolutely. So Rashi says it must mean that they hurried. You know, because when you hurry, you kind of, you know, your body's like trembling a little bit. So it means that they hurried to greet him out of honor. The Radak says that maybe it means they mobilized, you know, together. Maybe it doesn't mean trembled, but it means they mobilized or they gathered together. He says maybe it means they were scared, and maybe they were scared that if the Navi's coming to town, why is the Navi coming to town? Maybe somebody did something wrong. Maybe somebody sinned and Shmuel's got to give Musar. Maybe that's why he's coming to town. So exactly, right? Exactly. The principal comes to your room, everybody's scared. You know, what happened? So maybe that's what's going on. Yeah, that's true. And they asked him, and then that's why they asked him, are you coming in peace? Right? Shalom bo'echa, are you coming in peace? Meaning, are you coming because you're coming to, you have an axe to grind here? Are you coming because you have someone to give musar to? Are you coming in peace? Now, who spoke? It's interesting because the pasuk says vayomer, but it doesn't say who it was. So who's the one who spoke? I mean, we're talking about the ziknei ha'ir. So the Radak says it was probably the greatest zakin of the city, and he says maybe it was Yishai. Maybe Yishai was the greatest zakin. He said, I'm not sure, but maybe it was Yishai. Now listen to this. The Malbim has a very novel interpretation here. It's based on the Ralbag. He says the Ralbag says that really this whole ploy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really related to the Egla Arufa. What's Egla Arufa? So Egla Arufa is the parsha in the Torah that says that if you find a corpse, a dead body, out in the middle of the field, you don't know where it came from, who's responsible, you don't know anything. So what do? You measure to the closest city, and that city, you go to that city, and the Zakenim are responsible to bring this Egla Arufa, a calf. And says the Rabbag, that's why Hashem said to bring a calf. Because the whole trick here was that this was going to be an Egla Arufa. That's how the Rabbag understands. So the Malbim says, I'm not agreeing 100% with the Rabbag. I don't think that was Hashem's intention, right? But he says, that's why the Zakenim were afraid. Because they see the Navi coming with an Egla, and they think to themselves, oh my gosh, he must have found a corpse outside the city. It was close to our city. And he's bringing an Egla Arufa. Why were they scared? Because whose fault is it if there's a corpse outside the city? It's the Zakenim's fault. That's why the Pasuk says, Ziknei Ha'ir, we're afraid. That's how the Malbim says. Specifically, they were afraid because they said, Oyvei, we didn't let somebody go with the proper kavod, and he died outside the city. It's our fault. And now the Navi's coming with an Egla Arufa. So that's why they were scared. And that was their question. Shalom bo'echa, are you coming in peace? Or are you coming because of somebody who died? Oh. Vayomer shalom, lizbo'ach la'ashem basi. So Pasuk Hey, Shmuel says, no, I'm coming in peace. And again, however you understand it, whatever approach we're using, but don't worry, I'm coming in peace. I'm not coming to give musar. I'm not coming for an Egla Arufa. I come in peace. Lizbo'ach la'ashem basi. Right? And that's what Hashem told him to say. I'm coming to bring a korban. Hiskadshu uvasim iti bazavach. Please prepare yourselves, right? Sanctify yourselves and come partake of my korban. Vayikadesh es Yishai v'yazbonah v'yikro lahem lazavach. And Yishai and his sons sanctify themselves and they come to partake of the korban. Very good. Very good. So I wasn't going to get into that, but the Mefarshim point out that here, the Mishkan was in Nov at this time. And as long as the Mishkan was in Nov and Givon, there was a Heter Bamos, and you were allowed to bring a Karban even outside the Mishkan. And that's why this was a kosher Karban, so to speak. A kosher Karban. Pasuk Vav. Vayihi bevoam vayar es Eliyav vayomer ach neged Hashem Mishicho. So they come to the house, and Vayaris Eliyav, he sees, meaning Shmuel, sees the oldest son of Yishai, whose name was Eliyav. And he thinks to himself, as Rashi says, you know, maybe this is the one who's supposed to be the king. He's the Bachor. He's the oldest one. Maybe he's supposed to be the king. That's the Vayomer, right? The Radak says either it means he said it or he thought it. Now, why did he think that? So either because Eliyahu was the oldest, or maybe because Eliyahu was very good looking and tall, like Shaul was. We know Shaul, right, was very good looking and tall. That was supposed to engender an awe and a fear of the king. Of course, he had to be a good person also. And he says, what does he say? Ach neged Hashem mishicho. That his anointed one should be neged Hashem. Should be neged Hashem. So what does that mean? So either it means Hashem should be with him. Targum Yonasan says it means he should be proper and good in the eyes of Hashem. And some say, and the Malbim really works with this. And he says that the Malbim says he knew right away Eliyahu was not going to be the king. I'll tell you who it is. Correct. Very good. So that's what the Malbim says. Again, that's not like Rashi. Rashi seems to say that he thought maybe he was going to be. Maybe he thought Hashem will tell me that this is going to be the one. You know, it looks like he's the one. Well, the Radak offers both of those possibilities. Maybe he thought that this would be the one. The Malbim goes with a different approach. The Malbim says no. He knew this was not going to be the one. Why? Because Hashem didn't say anything, right? So if Hashem didn't say anything, like Joe's saying, obviously this is not the one. Why is this not the one? So he says very simply, he wasn't as tall and good looking as Shaul, right? That's what the Malbim says. He wasn't as tall and good looking. Now he says so. Now, and this is where the Radak and the Malbim overlap a little bit. They understand when he says Neged Hashem Mishicho. The Mishicho still refers to Shaul. And what they're saying is Hashem should still be across from Shaul, meaning that he's saying Shaul should still be the king. Meaning, there's no one, this guy is not a good replacement for Shaul. He's not a good replacement. So Shaul should still be the king. Again, we see that Shmuel is still like holding on to a little glimmer of hope that maybe Shaul's gonna still be the king. Vayomer Hashem el Shmuel, and Hashem says to Shmuel, very famous words, Al tabet el marehu. Don't look at the external appearance. Don't look at the external appearance. The el gova komaso, and don't look at his height. Kima astihu, because I despised him, meaning I despised Shaul. Ki lo asher yireh ha'odom. It's not, you can't judge based on how man sees things. Ki ha'odom yira la'inayim, v'ashem yira la'levav. Man sees just the eyes. Man sees the external appearance. Kadosh Baruch Hu sees the heart. Kadosh Baruch Hu sees the heart. Now, the question is, kima astihu, who's that going on? So I said it's going on Shaul. That's one interpretation. Rashi says, kima astihu is going on Eliyahu, that Hashem didn't like Eliyahu either. Why didn't he like Eliyahu? So Rashi says that Eliyahu had a temper. He says, you see later in Perek Yud Zayin, in the next Perek, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Chav Ches, Pasuk says, Vayichar af Eliyahu b'David. Eliyahu gets upset at David, and you see Eliyahu has a temper, so that's what he didn't like. Now Rashi points out, interestingly, that he was also teaching, Hashem was giving Shmuel a little mussar here. Shmuel, you think you're the Navi. Not only that, but you called yourself the Roeh. Earlier in Perek Tes, what does Shmuel say to Shaul? Anochi haRoeh. You're the Roeh. You think you're the one who sees things? You can't see what someone's really like, right? You only look at the externals. I'm the one who sees internally at the heart and sees what's good. Says the Radak, Eliyahu may look like he's fit to be king, but inside he's not. Inside he's not fit to be king. And he understands that Kima Astihu is going on Shaul. Kima Astihu means that I despise Shaul. Just because Shaul was good looking, just because Shaul was tall, that doesn't mean that he was fit to be king. He wasn't fit to be king. He didn't listen to me. The Malbim here, you know, also says a similar idea that, again, like he said this earlier also, that Shaul was tall and good looking because he was the people's king, right? People often make mistakes when they judge others, because they're judging based on externals. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who can judge the internal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who could see internally, to see deep down into a person and see, is he good? Is he fit to be king? I'm the only one who can do that. So he, it's a good question. He let Shaul be king because, again, Shaul was a tzaddik. And I guess at that time, he was the one that was best for Klal Yisrael at that time. But in the end, he made mistakes. In the end, he lost it. Yeah, exactly. He lost it in the end. He lost it in the end. But this is such an important point. You know, we have the expression, don't judge a book by its cover. Right? Don't judge a book by its cover. But this is what we do. Right? So this is what the pasuk, it's a pasuk. It's a pasuk. Al tabe tel marehu, right? Ki ha'adam yira la'inayim, Hashem yira la'levav. Right? So often we judge people based on what we see. You know, we see how they look, we see how they act. We don't see the lev, right? We don't see the heart. We don't see what's really going on inside of people. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. So we have to be careful. Even Shmuel HaNavi, the great Shmuel HaNavi, here made a little bit of a mistake. Right? Hashem's giving him a little bit of Musar. Yeah, you call yourself the Roeh. You don't see everything, right? You don't see everything. You think maybe this one's good. He's not so good, right? You think Shaul was so great. He wasn't so great. So very often, even the greatest among us, right? Even the greatest among us, even the Nevi'im, sometimes make mistakes and sometimes, have to be redirected by the Ribbono Shel Olam, who's the one who truly knows everything.
Perhaps free will comes into play here as well, that maybe Shaul could have been good. Doesn't mean that he would continue his descendants, but maybe he could have ended up living his entire life. And then after he died of old age, that he would have been a good king, and then David would become king.
100%. The free will definitely comes into play. And Shaul certainly had Bechira. And, you know, the mistakes that he made were because he made those decisions. He made those wrong decisions 100%. So you're absolutely right. But again, you know, we'll see next week in Mirat Hashem when we talk a little bit more about David. But we'll see next week that, you know, just because a person, you know, has good or bad inside doesn't mean that that's the way they're going to be. Now it depends on what do you do with that, right? What do you do with that good or bad, you know, inclination, tendency, personality trait, whatever the case might be. So Shaul was a tzaddik. We know he was a good person. But he had some things inside that he did not direct properly, and he ended up violating Hashem's wishes. So, okay. Thank you for joining. We'll stop here for tonight. And Emir Tzah Hashem will pick